What's up, guys? This is the Campus Chronicle podcast coming at you today with all the news that happened this past week on the Ankeny campus. My name's Hallie.
I'm Maria Hernandez.
Alyssa Monroe.
And we are talking about Wednesday's Constitution Day on the Ankeny campus. We had a talk in the Black Box Theater that Maria and I actually attended with Andrea Sahuri, who is a Des Moines Register reporter, who was arrested last May 31st in 2020 around the time where all the protests broke out with the George Floyd and the Black Lives Matter movement. Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that? I'll first start off by saying what the First Amendment is, which is in the Constitution. So that is the freedom of religion, freedom to exercise your religion however you wish, freedom of speech, so being free to say whatever you want, freedom of the press, and freedom of the right for people to peaceably assemble and petition the government. So, Maria, I'll go ahead and let you speak on how you felt the talk went and what it was mainly about.
Yes, I believe that it was a very interesting talk. Andrea talked about kind of the unlawful things that she got arrested for,
right.
More specifically just being a reporter reporting on a protest. I know she mentioned what are the protections for reporters who are even just at a protest reporting, maybe not even protesting.
Mm-hmm. So let's start from the top. Now, yeah. That day on May 31st, it seemed like when she was explaining what happened, there were actually a series of events that had led up to this one day specifically. So it looks like she had actually gone to a few other protests a few days prior, and that led up to this day on the 31st, where it got a little bit more hectic than the other days, which she said were actually pretty chill. Nothing really happened there. Let's give a little background on Andrea. Can you tell us a little bit about where she's from, how she got into journalism, and her background?
Yeah, so she is from Flint, Michigan. She went to a pretty prestigious school to...
Right, I think it was Columbia,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, Columbia School of Journalism. And she, when she was looking around, she decided that local news was something that she wanted to pursue. So she got an internship at the Des Moines Register. She said that she mainly focused on breaking news, but once that internship was over, she kind of went to how she ended up with the protest.
Maria is actually, a Palestinian. So
yes.
She is a woman of color. And she felt very strongly about the George Floyd protests, and when she was actually arrested on this day during the protest, she felt that not only was she unlawfully arrested because she stated that she was press, and we'll dig a little bit more into that in just a moment here, but she was the only reporter there out of the group that she was with. She was also with a fellow Des Moines Register employee, Katie Aiken, who is a white reporter, and she was not arrested, even though she did state that she was press. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what happened when she was arrested, kind of the instances leading up to that moment and what she did thereafter?
So we think she was arrested because she was a woman of color at a protest for this.
Yeah, you could speculate that. She didn't necessarily say that was it specifically. We don't want to put words in her mouth, but you can... Noting what has been going on and the fact that there was another reporter reporting on what she was, you can assume that it might have had something to do with that.
It could have.
Was she the only reporter arrested that day for this?
So she was, as far as we know, the only reporter arrested that day. Like I said, she was with a fellow Des Moines Register employee who was not arrested. Let's talk a bit about what happened when she was arrested. Like, what were the police doing to her? What did they say to her? What were the words exchanged? And what ultimately ended up happening in the long run?
Yeah. So I want to quickly note that reporters getting arrested is not common at all. So this was a very interesting incident because this does not happen a lot since
right.
we have freedom of the press.
Right. I mean, it made national headlines.
Yeah. So this was a really weird situation. She mentioned that this protest, like many others she's been to, had a lot of ups and downs. So there was a lot of moments like, of craziness. You know, people were stealing things from Target. There were people, like, tear gas, pepper spray, stuff like that. But then there were also moments where people were just standing there.
Right.
And moments of chill. And she said that the moment she got arrested was, right leading up to that, mm-hmm. was a moment of chill.
Right.
She was just, she walked over to a group of people and was going to go, you know, interview them, asking them questions, you know, why they're there.
I think she even stated that when the chaos started to erupt the way that it did right before she got arrested, people were actually starting to walk onto the street, and police were not in favor of that. So that's when they actually approached her and started to question her and kind of get all up in her business.
Yes. That she noted that that was probably, you know, when they got the most upset. That and, like, throwing things that she mentioned, that that's when the police were, like, that's what they didn't like necessarily, is mm-hmm. getting in the street and throwing things. But the moment she got arrested, like I was saying, she was interviewing some people, and then, you know, chaos kind of broke out.
Right,
there was tear gas and pepper spray, and she was trying to get away from that because it was a dangerous situation. They were pushing them to a place to get somewhere else, but then where the police wanted the people, there was tear gas and, like,
right. And I know she mentioned that because they were in a parking lot, because this was actually at the Merle Hay Mall, so this was right near the Target, close to the Verizon store, I know. And I know that she said that there was actually no place for people to disperse. So when the police were actually, you know, initiating that tear gas dispersion and trying to get people to disperse, there was nowhere for people to go because there were so many cars. I know she said she couldn't even get to her car. However, let's talk a little bit more about when she actually did get arrested. What was said to her, and what did she say, and how did that happen?
Yeah, so she, since there was nowhere to go, she, I think she mentioned running maybe to, like, an alleyway, something like that, where it was just her and the police officer. She noticed that she said she didn't want to run away from the police because she is the press. So she put her hands up and said that she was the press, and the policeman said that wasn't what they asked her. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of went along with it, you know, just got arrested because she didn't want to argue with them since they're the police. And then once she got into the car, her hands were zip tied behind her, but she managed to get to start a live stream so that people knew what was going on with her, like even just her family members, her editors at the paper, which was a really interesting thing for her to do. It was a way right. of informing people, but also like a safety precaution to be like, right. hey, I'm getting arrested right,
right.
now.
I also love that she did that because it's like in that moment of panic, you know, she stopped and took a second to realize what was going on and to think about what would happen if she did not get this out there to the people. You know, I love that she actually took the time to record what was going on and actually, you know, got some evidence, you know, of what happened that she could use. So she talked a little bit about how she actually was taken to trial. She had a trial that she testified, and her reporter that was alongside her also testified, and she was actually found not guilty. Another thing, you know, students and faculty asked questions towards the end there. I know some of the questions asked were, what are the measures that were put in place, or have there been any measures put in place since the incident to protect journalists? I know this is something that, you know, I, you know, may not have thought about before this incident. It's something that's really important that people may not think about is, you know, anything can happen to a journalist. You hear of journalists dying, you know, being murdered, being held captive, you know, and it is a very dangerous job when you think about it. So can you tell us a little bit more about that and the measures that are taken to protect journalists?
Well, can I say, I think it's just very, like, extreme that it went this far. Like, I feel like the police just arrested anyone that was on the street at this point without even, like, realizing who they were.
Yeah, so
it's crazy.
She mentioned something about her trial that she mentioned was the lack of evidence that they had against her, the fact that they used other reporters' evidence against her. So kind of the trust of the press in general has been going down lately, with people thinking everything's fake news.
Right. I know she mentioned even that the attitude of police towards the job, you know, the field of journalism has shifted immensely. She even stated, and I quote her here, "It's getting scary because we are seeing a huge increase in arrests." She also stated that respect for the profession is dwindling, which is a scary thought because these are the people who put themselves on the line to get information out to the people. And let's talk a little bit more about those measures put in place to protect them, like we said.
Yeah, so the Des Moines Register has a lot of measures in place to protect journalists, not necessarily in a specific situation like this, because like I said before, it's not common whatsoever. But so the Register might not be prepared for that specific situation, but they do have a legal team that was right there to help her. Reporters and journalists in general stick together to protect each other because, you know, it's something they all do and something that could happen to anyone, to get arrested for a story. But yeah, she got a lot of support from just other journalists. She mentioned this program.
Yeah, and I believe that program you're referring
to. Yeah, she mentioned.
So yeah, it was called the Journalism Protection Program. Yeah. And she also, no, it's not called the Journalism Protection Program. It is a Journalism Protection Program. It's called the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker. So that's something that people can utilize to help protect the press. I also know that another question that was asked, I actually asked, how can we as community members, because I know she spoke a lot about community members and forming relationships with them, help to advocate for the rights and protections of journalists? And one thing that she actually mentioned that she also said she hopes we break away from is subscribing to news articles, subscribing to the Des Moines Register so that we can pay for that content and therefore, you know, fund these types of measures to help keep them protected, and just kind of forming our own opinion about things. Do you have anything else you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, she mentioned that since this incident, she wanted people to feel like they could trust, especially people in the Des Moines Register. She talked about open hours, like, you know, going to talk to a journalist to get to know them, making people more comfortable with who delivers their news, which is a really important thing because, you know, you get the news from these people, so you want to make sure that you can trust them. And that's just, that's true for any instance, for anyone who listens to the news. You don't necessarily need to think that everything's fake news to do this, but I think that was really interesting that, you know, this thing happened to her, but she wants people to trust her because she wants people to believe the stories.
Well, right? Maria, you're a journalism major, so, like, this whole story, how does this make you, like, feel potentially going into this field and being put in these situations?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I, you know, I've things since my sophomore year of high school, so I have been a student journalist. It might not be as intense as being a field journalist or, like, just a reporter in general, but I know for sure, like, even protections from, like, principals or advisors like that, it's really important to make sure that you can say what you want to say without being prosecuted. She should be able to go report, even not even, like, openly supporting Black Lives Matter or the protests. She should be able to report on it without getting in trouble for being there. I think that's really important because who's going to tell the stories if you can't be there to tell the stories? You can't tell a story about a protest if you don't have anything from being at the protest. If we don't have these protections put in place for people, we're not going to have any news. We're not going to have viable stories or truthful stories, which is the whole point of being a journalist, is to tell the truth about things maybe people don't want to tell the truth about. So I think that is a really good question, and it's kind of scary when people don't have trust in the media and people who should be trusted. So,
right. Yeah. I definitely think with this pandemic and the last year, especially 2020, There was a lot of fake news circulating, a lot of censorship online, and just a lot of controversy around fake news and that sort of thing in general. So great points. And, you know, that just all ties into why the First Amendment right is so important. Like I said, that is freedom of religion, speech, the press, peaceably assemblance, and peaceful assemblance, and the petition and the right to.
If you enjoyed the story from this podcast, you can check out for more details on Campus Chronicles website. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. We hope to hear from you next time.